Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening, we'll talk about African Union's role in peacekeeping and conflict resolution. And with me here tonight in studio is my colleague, Eddie Rema of VOA's Central Africa Service. Eddie, welcome back to the show once again.
Thank you very much, Douglas, for having me.
You're welcome. And joining us from South Africa is another regular panelist and friend of the show, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. And he joins us from Durban. Hello, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and the listeners.
How are you doing today?
Fine.
Very good. Gentlemen, once again, welcome back to the show. And as I said, tonight we're going to talk about AU's role in peacekeeping and conflict resolution, or the lack of those two, because some observers believe they are falling short of the objective. For the sake of our listeners, AU, when it was established, replacing OAU in 1999, one of their vision was to have an integrated, prosperous, and peaceful Africa, driven by its own citizens and representing a dynamic force in the global arena. So, Eddie, the vision, how far have they gone, you think?
It's great you mentioned that. And one of the articles of the organization's constitution was specifically written to allow it to step in where its widely discredited predecessor, which is the OAU, had failed to act. So basically, they were meant, as the constitution puts it, the African Union can directly intervene in a member state in grave circumstances, namely war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity. Mm-hmm. Now this is the time to ask ourselves, are they really living to that article of the constitution of the African Union?
Yes.
In most cases, we've seen, great efforts being put into mobilizing African forces to intervene in countries where we've seen wars, crimes against humanity. They recently sent troops to Central Africa. We know countries like Burundi, Rwanda, the Democratic Republic of Congo. They're all now in Central Africa. But what role are they playing? Do they have the logistics that are required for them to really do the job they're supposed to do? You will see that in most cases, though these forces go there under the helmet of the African Union, but all the logistics are provided by the United States.
Correct.
Flying these forces from Rwanda, from Burundi, it's all done by the United States. So basically, even though we have the constitution that allows us to do that, but they don't have the logistics to send those forces to go and intervene.
Suleiman, Eddie here, and he has just returned from Central Africa. He was in Rwanda. And that's a part of the continent that is almost on fire always. We saw many millions of people die in the DRC. We have had conflicts around the region, Central African Republic. But he mentions the lack of logistics by the AU. Other people have even argued that maybe they don't even have the will. What do you think?
The will might be there, but the way my friend has said, let's say that at the moment, I think the continent is overwhelmed by the problem before them. At the moment, the conflicts have not only grown in number, they have changed the gear. They are no longer normal conflicts of normal violence. They are even some of them turning into genocide. So, number one, the conflicts are so many. The whole continent is on fire. We have got Sudan. We have got South Sudan. We have got Central African Republic. DRC has just cooled down. We've got Libya. We've got Egypt is not stable yet. Mali is not stable yet. So when you look at the number of conflicts, they are quite many. So even the logistics, even if it had the will, they wouldn't have the logistics for those particular countries. Already they don't have the logistics. Then the number itself is so big. Number two, as I put it, these conflicts have now grown. They have changed they changed the gear. Mm-hmm. From the Darfur near genocide, we have now moved into real genocide in South Sudan, real genocide in Central African Republic. It was almost genocide in DRC. So the number, the intensity of the conflict has become so big that you even sympathize them, even if they had the ability, whether they can manage.
Yeah, but among the objectives, as you, both of you know, and maybe many of our listeners know, was to promote peace, security, and stability on the continent.
they actually started a peace, I think they call it the
peace and
security
yes,
commission.
Because, yes.
So basically something that is equivalent to the United Nations Security Council organ.
Yes. Yes.
And one of the initiatives they started with was to form an African standby force. This
yeah.
force was designed to provide the African Union with exactly the kind of military capability it needs to respond rapidly to critical situations of these kinds of genocide, crimes against humanity. But since the establishment of that force, have we seen that force intervening in any country? The answer is no. So basically, instead of the force itself intervening, we've seen rather countries like French sending their own brigades to intervene in African-related matters that we as Africans should be solving. So, again, it comes back to lack of political will.
Mm.
It comes back to intrigues among countries, because at the end of the day, it is the countries that will send those troops. So if this country A is in bed with country B, he will say, no, these people are in control of their own situation, so there's no need for other foreign intervention.
Mm.
So sometimes there's so much politics involved, and also the lack of political will from the African Union, and also the issue of logistics. So those are the things that I see.
Suleiman, don't some of these leaders feel embarrassed because they are the people who brought up the slogan of African solutions to African problems? And they don't seem to be going that far, according to my brother here.
Yeah, it is very embarrassing. And the way he has put it, at the moment we have got some historical baggages where countries have failed to get cohesion on these serious issues. And one of the problems we are faced with like lately is that, for example, we have got the problem of Libya, the problem of Cote d'Ivoire. We are caught off guard. There was no cohesion. It made cracks within the African Union to the extent, the way my brother said, it's so difficult now to get a cohesive solution or cohesive stand on almost every issue. There are some internal disagreements within the nation. Some countries feel if Rwanda and Uganda they are in the place, I won't go there as Tanzania, or if Tanzania goes, Rwanda and Uganda may feel uncomfortable to be there with them. So even those ones also, there is the historical disagreements, there is the inability politically to accept. Number three, there is a lack of strategy. Because our strategies have been the same. We want to mobilize forces to go and extinguish the fire. We have failed to understand that maybe instead of being firefighters, we can do preventative, we can prevent the fire. It might be cheaper. So our methods have been the same. Wait the conflict to come up, to flare up, and then we expect that we shall be able to extinguish the fire.
So one of the, again, of the objectives, the major one, like a number one objective, was to achieve greater unity and solidarity between the African countries and the peoples of Africa. And as Suleiman rightly points out, there's where there's wrangling. You can now take, for instance, the case of Rwanda and South Africa.
Rwanda and Tanzania.
Rwanda and Tanzania. Openly quarreling, and some of them, like in the case of South Africa and Rwanda, even expelling diplomats and accusation and counter-accusations. And this happens at a time when we have these, what others have described as this club of the leaders, where they meet in these summits, allegedly to iron out these issues and look for a way forward. Do these summits ever help?
I think you mentioned Suleiman mentioned something to do with you know, countries ABC, you know, intervening, and then the other countries refusing to intervene because their enemies, the so-called enemies, are fighting alongside some government forces. We have seen this in Congo, for example, when the UN established the intervention brigade in Congo to rout out the M23. Rwanda was so critical to that.
Yes.
You know, because the reason they were critical to it is because that brigade was supposed to be made up of forces from Tanzania and South Africa.
Correct.
So these issues, you know, boil up, and then, for example, I just returned from Rwanda, where I was covering the 20th commemoration of the genocide in Rwanda. It was so surprising that among the regional leaders that were absent at the commemoration were Burundi, Tanzania, DRC, and South Africa.
Correct.
Something else that was funny: South Africa and Tanzania were represented by former heads of state Mukapa and Thabo Mbeki, because they are probably friendly to President Kagame. So unless these leaders can chart out a way, you know, of putting the African interests at the forefront, that's the only way we could see African Union really taking a greater leadership in as far as solving conflicts on the continent are concerned.
And again, Suleiman, further to that, some of these countries have actually contributed to the instability in other countries, like in the neighboring countries.
Yes, definitely, without doubt. That is where we have got a problem of what to move, either the cart or the horse. I think we have put it the other way around, because the continent has failed to get political stability. We have failed to agree on which mode of leadership we have to have on the continent. So long as we have got the mixture of democratic and undemocratic government, we are failing to get cohesion as a continent. The so-called dictators, they listen to nobody. They have got their own agenda. The democrats, those who are democratic, they have got also another agenda. So it is very difficult to put them together. That is why we are having all this flare-up of misunderstanding between the states, because the countries are moving on different wavelengths. Unlike Europe, where there is consensus, where there is stability, political stability, in Africa we have failed to get political stability because many countries have become dictatorship and they are not moving. That is why even the conflicts are becoming more and more.
You agree?
I definitely agree. Unless greed, issues to do with power hunger can be eliminated, there's no way we are going to see African countries agreeing on issues that pertain to the development of the entire continent. So these are the issues that contribute to all the chaos that we see, because most of this chaos are financed and supported by, you know, countries, neighboring countries, for example, who come up with proxy, you know,
rebel groups.
Yeah, proxy rebel groups to fight for their own interests. So unless they can agree to put the interest of the local people at the forefront of the agendas, then we will keep seeing most of these problems.
Well, gentlemen, hold your thoughts. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue a discussion of African Union's role in peacekeeping and conflict resolution. Don't go away after this short break.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people. Without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is AU's role in peacekeeping and conflict resolution. Our panelists are Eddie Rema of VOA Central Africa Service and Suleiman Mgula, a South African-based independent political analyst, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9. Before I went for that break, somebody raised the issue of the mixture of leaders who constitute the African Union, some being democratic and others being, for lack of a better term, benevolent dictators. Given that there is no uniformity in this, in the leadership of the continent, there can't be one vision, can there, Eddie?
There's definitely not going to be one vision, and this will require the leadership of other African leaders who are democratic to propel the vision of the African Union. So basically, like I said, we need strong leadership. These big brothers who are democratic should take lead in forging the right way forward for the African Union, rather than being dragged by these so-called benevolent dictators like you called them.
So, Suleiman, is there a way, I mean, how do you have a union where leaders can't agree on anything? They are fighting among themselves. It's difficult to have a united stand. So maybe was it premature, in your opinion, to constitute an AU that they didn't have a level
playing field?
Playing field.
That is the problem the continent is faced with. That is why you find that our problems are growing more and more. That is why you find the social and economic problems are becoming more and more. Corruption is becoming rooted, grounded, unemployment, poverty, then you get immigration. So, first of all, the way you have put it, we don't have leaders to begin with the dictators on the ground, there is hopelessness on the continent. With the hopelessness on the continent, they themselves, they cannot agree, because they are those who are more enlightened, they are those who are having systems which are operative, and then you have these ones which don't have even systems which are operating. Unfortunately for Africa, the ones which don't have systems are the ones who have put their heads in the front. They are the ones who have hijacked the continent. They are the peacekeepers. They are the ones who are intervening, the dictators. So you find countries which are well-governed, your Ghanas, your Zambias, your Botswanas, they have left them aside. So it is the dictators, you find the Musevenis, you find the Kabiras, you find the Kagames, you find the Nkurunziza. Those who are dictators, they are one at the front to do all this dirty work. So the continent has a problem that we don't have real leaders. We don't have a united front. Because of that, we won't get any foot anywhere. One example. Up to today, whenever Mr. Museveni goes on the platform, when he's with his fellow leaders, he will not forget to criticize what happened in Libya. He will not forget to criticize what happened in Ivory Coast. To him, Gaddafi was supposed to be left, which is the opposite of what the president of Ivory Coast, Hassan Ouattara, thinks, which is the opposite of what our man Kama in Botswana thinks. So the way you have put it, without a united group, how can you have a united vision? Lastly, apart from that, because these dictators, they don't have systems, they have generally impoverished their nations. In all these countries where the dictators are, poverty is increasing. The economic development is only superficial. So you'll find that naturally, many of our countries which happen to be dictatorships are economically weak. So even if we were to contribute, the resources are not there because they are backed by these particular dictators.
He raises very almost two, three related issues there, and very important. The fact that some of them are not well governed, therefore they have weak institutions. Those type of countries actually have stronger militaries because they earmark a bigger chunk of their budget to military, mm-hmm. and they ignore health, education, and all other infrastructure, pump the money into military. Therefore, they have strong armies, and they are capable of causing chaos.
And basically, they are exporting peace to countries, to other countries, yet in their own countries, there is lack of peace.
That's right.
So the other issue is, how serious do these countries see the African Union? African Union, I mean, they see it as a joke. Mm. I mean, this is an institution that hasn't up to now either, you know, passed or voted a resolution to sanction these particular dictators. Mm. At least with the United Nations, we see where the Security Council sits and says, I mean, if whether they are able or not, but at least they have got mechanisms to check these countries that go rogue. But do we have those mechanisms at the African Union? I would say no. For example, we were talking about the standby brigade. Mm. This standby brigade was supposed to answer to the African Union's Peace and Security Council, which is the equivalent to the United Nations Peace and Security Council. Mm. But what has it done? Has it achieved anything? Mm. Has it even sent any of its members to fight in for peace in other countries? This has not been done. So basically, unless African Union can be empowered to pass strong resolutions that counter or check these particular rogue countries, then we'll not be able to see Africa prospering and also checking these dictators that commit crimes against humanity to their citizens. Mm.
And Suleiman, it appears it's a case of scratch my back, I scratch your back. Because as Eddie says here, if you said, for instance, they took a resolution and sanctioned the country, those some members feel that maybe it might be their turn. So why take that risk? Why go there at all?
That is why now the way my friend has said is that what we need now, we need to get new patrons. We need to get new patrons of a new direction. We need the those who are democratic to take over from the dictators, because at the moment, the dictators have taken over. The way you have put it, they have got strong militaries, therefore they are the ones. Now we need a new group which would take responsibility and say, no, we don't want that line of operation. We want to prevent. And the first step to prevent is to have good governance. And then they go and pass a resolution, and then they stand by it and they sponsor it. Maybe there we can have a movement.
And gentlemen, before we go, there has been a consistent problem at the union in Addis Ababa. That's the lack of money. Members, some of them don't even pay their dues. We remember most of you that the late Gaddafi was almost the kingmaker,
the
chief sponsor, dishing in a lot of money and paying for even tens of other countries. Why shouldn't a union of 50 plus countries at least earmark and pay what is due to the union?
Again, it comes back to what I said. These countries don't take African Union serious. These countries pay dues to the United Nations.
Yes.
If they do that, why can't they pay dues to the African Union? Mm. So unless we create a stronger African Union that checks these countries, that sanctions these countries, then these countries will come to know that, somebody's watching on us. You know, then that's the time they will be able to pay dues. I mean, it's so surprising that African Union, you know, says we have countries that are ready to send troops, say, to Central African Republic, but they cannot have money to fly those troops from Rwanda to Central African Republic. So it's by the mercy of the United States that these forces are able to go to protect and preserve peace in those countries. Mm. So unless they take the organization serious, then we'll continue seeing these problems. And I mean, at the end of the day, the institution will not have an impact on the African countries.
Suleiman, do you think maybe it would have been better if Africa had gone the way of European Union, where you start with a few countries that are committed, that meet best level qualifications, and then admit others as they meet those standards?
You are right 100%, because if those countries are well governed, they have the resources, they will be able to pay the dues, they will be able to face the commitment, they will be able to gather the money quickly and be able to sponsor force to intervene somewhere. But now, what you have, some of these dictatorships, some of these countries, Douglas, let us be straight, some countries like Uganda are failed states. They are financially broke, they don't even have the money. Because a small country like that one without enough resources, he has got soldiers in Somalia, he's got soldiers in Sudan, he wants to take soldiers in Central African Republic, he was fighting a civil war for 20 years. Where do you get the money? The corruption. And they are engaged in so many things. The same with Rwanda, it's a very small state. Much as the United States helps them. But at the end of the day, you cannot forget that they have to raise very big armies. And those armies are basically paid by the national treasuries. So already they are strained because they are dictatorship. They have maintained themselves by force in power. So these failed states are a burden to the continent. They are growing the conflict. They are stopping while growing the conflict. They are engaged in trying to stop, but at the same time they are growing more conflict. And they are a financial burden, not only to their people, but also to the continent.
Last word, Eddie.
Well, the last word, I would say that there is optimism. If I could quote the chairwoman of the African Commission, Dlamini Zuma, when she was speaking in Kigali last Monday, she said that the African Union failed Rwanda during the 1994 genocide. But right now, this is the time for African Union to come up and be a strong institution that all African countries would see that is efficient and it's able to intervene in conflicts and resolve those conflicts on the African continent.
In the last 10 seconds, Suleiman, is that just talk, or do you think they can walk the talk?
It's just talk, because in Central African Republic, it took the France had to fly in and stabilize the situation before African Union came in. In Mali, France flew in first before the African Union came in. In southern Sudan now, they are crawling, whereas the situation is becoming worse and worse. So I think it is a PR exercise. Until when they act swiftly, until when the standby force takes off and we see it acting, this is when we shall believe their word. Otherwise, let the individual citizen in every country try to change these dictatorial regimes so that the conflict can be prevented.
I see. Well, you have the last word. We shall keep watching on the progress or the role of the AU in peacekeeping and conflict resolution on the continent. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague here, Eddie Rema of VOA Central Africa Service. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Thanks a lot, Suleiman.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Our producer, as usual, has been Jackson Mufunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can still access it by going to the internet and going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Just click on programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Ipuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.